Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change here on our special Father's Day weekend show. And we've got a special hour coming up here with three individuals. The first two are with me here in the studio today right now. And I welcome Jim Humphreys and his son, Drew Humphrey. Welcome to the studio, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Great.
Zara.
So we thought we'd do a father-son experience here in commemoration of not just the two journeys you two men enjoy, but actually kind of in tune with a lot of the messages here on Circles of Change, primarily in that whole area of finding your passion. From a standpoint of any of us in our different parts of our career. And then as parents, for Dad Jim here to realize part of parenting is letting go and maybe encouraging your children to allow their path to go in a different direction. So let me offer just a brief introduction to frame up. Jim Humphrey is no stranger here to 104.1 The Truth. And actually, I first should thank him because we're coming up on my one-year anniversary here
it's
with Circles
of
Change.
Yeah,
that's true.
Right.
Both of our
anniversaries.
And was Jim's sales convincing that got me to the opportunity to move my show here. So Jim is one of our sales managers that touches base and attracts individuals to advertise, as well as those of us that are brokered shows. Jim has a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration and Accounting and became a college instructor of math and business courses initially in his career, and then shifted into working for a variety of companies that took him into being a marketing director, then finding his own firm of independent marketing and consulting and sales training, as well as getting involved in print advertising. For 10 years, he was part of the Explorer newspaper, as well as very active in the community in the Chamber of Commerce in the greater Northwest sector of Tucson. And with that, then, it was just a year ago that he transitioned from the print world to media, as well as the web and the whole thing that's kind of hit your plate of new things, right, Jim?
Absolutely.
Great.
Very new.
Yeah, real new. Well, as we got to know one another, one of the things he slid in front of me was this wonderful essay as he was thinking about his own career transition that actually he shared with his son at one time, and we're going to get to that shortly. So let me introduce then his son, Drew Humphrey. And Drew right now lives in New York City, and he's a beginning of an outstanding career launch in the whole live theater and production and musical business. In fact, he did his dance training and the Bachelor of Fine Arts at the University of Arizona, majoring in ballet, modern jazz, and tap. He's had acting training also at the University of Arizona under Marsha Bagwell, voice and private study, and with that took that big leap of faith to say, I'm going east and going to New York. So his repertoire of experiences have spanned being in ensembles as well as major roles. I'm sure he'll look forward to telling us about that. And then specifically in Broadway in New York, oh, the light in his dad's eye last Christmas when Jim and his wife flew to New York to see Drew perform in the production of White Christmas. So that one major step as you go forward, as well as he's been in Of the I Sing and 42nd Street as well, and also national tour. So that's quite a blitz of activities in a short amount of time.
You know, it seems that way when you look back on it. I was looking over some of this stuff recently and thought how the different cities and the different productions that I've rehearsed and gone through, and it makes me kind of exhausted just thinking about it sometimes.
That's right. And what year did you graduate from the University of Arizona?
2003.
Okay, so you're coming up in 7 years then.
Yeah,
in this process
years,
of your launching
in New
career.
York City.
In New York, that's fabulous. Well, Jim, why don't we start then our conversation between the two of you, actually in the context of your knowing when your son came to you and said, Dad, I think I'm going to pursue my life and career launch into New York. What was going through your head?
Well, one of the things that we talked about was having a plan B.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first advice to Drew, and he quickly responded with the notion that there was no purpose for a plan B in his life. He was going to pursue his dream.
So tell me about that, Drew, the idea of why not a plan B? I mean, some of us tell us, think we should have options.
Oh, youthful exuberance.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know, it was going to be, I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I had no idea. I mean, I had trained and studied and had an idea of what I wanted to do. I really didn't know how I was going to get there or what was going to happen when I did. It was a massive leap of faith. And so a plan B probably would have been a terrific idea. I mean, I really should have taken that advice to a certain degree, but all I could do was focus on what I had to focus on.
You got it. And in fact, in some regards, having a plan B may have been an anchor to keep you from taking that leap.
Yeah, possibly. I very much agree with that sometimes. And other times while I'm, you know, unemployed in my apartment in New York City thinking, wow.
Where's my
plan
B?
Maybe it would have been easier if I did something different. But no, I had to focus on it. I had to take that jump. I had to make this work.
Had to make it work. And then, Jim, I think about your background. From the Midwest, of course, as myself, studying mathematics, teaching, accounting. It's about rules. It's about boundaries. It's about plans and structure, right?
Yeah, and maybe, Drew, working without a net is hereditary. I don't know.
So the thought struck you as you were watching your son make his own choices. And by the way, Drew's mom and sister, of course, Jane, and sister Kim with her lovely three children. So this wasn't just dad and son, I assume. There might have been some other family influences supporting you, too. But you wrote this essay.
Yeah.
And how did that come about?
I don't know. I think that I was thinking about Drew and where he was going and the big step that he was taking, leaving town and pursuing the career. And we talked to his professors at the U of A, and I thought, you know, he doesn't want the plan B, so maybe I can give some fatherly advice. And every once in a while I get a creative flair for putting some things together in words. And that's where I came up with this thing.
So why don't you read this to us and take your time? It's entitled Bon Voyage, Drew.
Row, row, row your boat. Your boat is your persona, your life, your passion. Rowing is your work. Let no one row your boat. Each day you set sail toward your intended course. It's work. Some days it's harder than others. The weather stinks. The waves are high. You don't feel like rowing. Other days come easy. The sun's out. The river runs swift and smooth. And you're ahead of everyone else. That's life. Good days follow bad ones. That's a rule of nature. You've got to row evenly or you'll stray off course. The right hand has to work with the left. Be strong. Put your back into it. Take breaks. You've got to keep your boat in top shape. It's not only got to look good, it has to perform well and be well maintained. Tools of the trade need to be taken care of, and of course so does your body. Rest well, eat right, exercise, pray and give thanks, and count your blessings. It goes on with the song. It says, gently down the stream.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind to people, circumstances, and diversity. Forgive often, never avenge, and defend with knowledge and calm. Be tenacious, but don't be a nuisance. Know where you're going, even if you don't know how to get there, yet. Stay focused on your destination, and when you arrive, pick another, higher goal. Repeat. Merrily, 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 merrily.
Mm-hmm.
Be happy. Think positively, and maintain a sense of humor. Positive people are more successful than no-no-nillies. When you have a smile on your face, you attract good people. Your smile and good nature are infectious. Be contagious. Don't confuse merrily with carelessly or blindly or drunkenness. Keep your faith and know that it keeps you. Life is but a dream. Dreams do come true. You've proved that. Life is not an illusion, maybe a little mysterious at times. Celebrate the mystery. There's always time when the answer will be revealed. Maybe in hours, maybe in years. Just don't let it worry you. Be creative, inventive, and playful. The world doesn't need another Mozart, Gershwin, Lennon, or Tharp. It needs you. Fresh, unique, dynamic, authentic. Embrace the future of your own celebrity. Have no regrets. You'll have time to make decisions without knowing the outcome. Consult your lifelines, mentors, family, and mate. They can only guide you, not decide for you. That's your privilege. Don't lose sight of who you are. We're all depending on you to stay strong to your principles, values, and attitude. It's up to you to do your work, to kindle your spirit, and to maintain your focus. Keep those in balance, and your wealth will exceed your imagination. Row, row, row your boat as only you can. Love, Dad.
Well, that was 2003.
Yep.
So, Jim, did it take you long to write that, or did it just come out, or do you remember?
I hardly even remember writing it, but... It just kind of flowed. I don't know. I was looking at the little song and some things started coming to me and it just rolled, I guess. So
there's a lot that happens come that graduation time, right? I mean, that was part of it, is you're looking as an outlet for that. Drew, do you remember when your dad gave you that essay?
You know, I don't remember the specific moment that I got it or the specific moment that I read it. It is something that has affected me often. But, so much does happen.
Yeah.
The graduation day, and I was about to move across the country. I had to get affairs in order here. And
had you worked in New York before?
No. No, I had been based out of there. Well, that's an overstatement. I did a cruise ship a few years before, and we ported in New York City once a week. And so I was somewhat familiar with the city, but had never lived there, really.
But you knew the kind of career you wanted to shape. It took going to Manhattan to make that happen.
Yeah. What I wanted to do, there was no other city to go to. And that was a lot. You know, I remember, I was talking about this the other day, harboring guilt. I think it was one of these things that we all carry around, at least a little bit of guilt every now and then. Maybe I'm neurotic, but I feel like I have guilt that I have to manage. And one of is the guilt of taking everything from your parents. You know, your parents continue to give and give and give, as my parents did and supported and pushed me in this direction to, you know, fulfill my dreams. You know, and this essay is a prime example of that. But then graduation happens.
Yeah.
And it's time to go do that. And mine happened to take me out away from the family. They don't live near New York City. They live across the country, and there's very few direct flights. Mm-hmm. So just to get here, it takes an entire day and a lot of planning. And a business that I work in, there's not much planning that I can do.
So the life of an actor is one.
I need to be in New York City tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
And I'd have to cancel any plans that I have. But moving across the country was saying goodbye and taking all the stuff that was given to me and saying, thank you, I can never repay you. And that's a lot. That's a lot. And I remember thinking that at graduation, like, I don't know. It's so selfish. And selfish gets a bad rap because we have to be selfish. We have to fulfill our own
destiny, our own
dreams. We have to do it. You know, that's the deal I made with myself. That's the deal my family made with me to support that, but it doesn't make it any easier to say, I'm leaving. And I'm not going to see you nearly as much as I want to or nearly as much as we ever have before. Yeah. You know, it's all going to be different now.
That's right.
And Dad, that was a lot. That was a lot.
Dad, react though to Drew's comment of, and I'll never be able to pay you back. Because I have a hunch there's some psychic income that's come your way
Absolutely.
In huge ways.
And, you know, we've never seen that as a debt. The rewards that we get for Drew and from Drew deal with issues of pride and self-accomplishment. When Jane and I were raising our children, we took the attitude that these are future adults, and we need to treat them as adults. The hard thing for us was to say, okay, we've completed our work, at least at this age.
This age, yeah.
And now it's time for them to take those things that we've shared and tried to teach them and all that, and let them go on and really use those and make a world for themselves. Never ever thought of it as, again, a debt that had to be repaid.
But I'd get that in writing in case he asked for that check back.
Of course.
But, occasionally you do pay us back because we get into a show at no cost.
Cool.
Once in a while. And that's just for the show. That doesn't count the room and board and everything else to get there and the flight.
Jim, I'll ask Drew about this. Talk to us about this budding actor, dancer, performer, though. I suspect this is something that just blossomed during the college years. Two of you spotted this very early.
We spotted it very early. One of the first signs
This is when it gets embarrassing for the son.
Yeah, exactly.
We know how this goes.
I'll spare some of the really embarrassing stuff maybe, but One of the signs that we thought we might be in trouble is one year for Christmas, when he was about 4 years old, he said that he wanted a stage.
For his gift.
Yeah, and he was rather disappointed when that didn't come. But we didn't realize at the time exactly what we had going here. You know, there were just various times that he proved that he really wanted to be in front of people and entertain. Mm-hmm. We came to Tucson when he was 11 years old, and the first thing he did was look for auditions, found something at the U of A, and actually was brought in to do a play with the U of A. And so it just continued on from there. He was also very much on his own to find these opportunities, and of course we would encourage him to do that until he got tired of it. Just never got tired of it.
And Drew, how about you? Did you, you know, whether it be the 4 year old that you said I want a stage, which sounds like a logical gift for a 4 year old, but the idea of that passion, that vision, was it something that inspired you to go pursue this?
You know, I don't know. Like,
love it.
It's complicated, I think. It's something I wanted to be a part of, and every time I was a part of an experience, it had just encouraged me to want to do it again and learn more. And, you know, it snowballed in its own unique way of, I feel like in this community, this industry that I participate in, it's a lot of, permission. You know, it's not only a job, because it's a job. It's the way you can make your living and things like that. But, you know, it's one of the only industries that I know that when your job is over, you actually celebrate. you go out and you celebrate that you just completed something.
As
even though you're
to being
instantly
consumed.
Unemployed,
I
you
like
are
that.
Still celebrating with these people that you just met, and you created something that wasn't there before.
So I don't think many people understand that in New York, is that these big productions you're a part of, while you're part of an actor's guild or performer's guild, it's still, you're constantly looking for new work. In other
Everyone
words.
Is. Yeah, yeah, it's a whole community of, you know, I'm going to make up statistics, but I know that somewhere in the realm of, you know, less than 10% of all members of my acting community are out of work. Or only 10% are in work.
Are in work. Only 10% are in work.
Meaning those work numbers are inflated and a little strange. But I guess the point is that there's a whole community of actors running around New York City, supporting and encouraging each other in their own way, within their own little micro communities of people that they worked with before and taken as good friends forward, supporting each other, trying to find work, just beating down streets. But dealing with permission, like you get a job and you're allowed to go do what you love to do the most. Mm-hmm. And I feel like early on in Tucson and working toward this goal, I didn't know what I was doing necessarily. I had no idea where it was going to lead or the path that it was going to go down. But each little step of the way, I was given permission to try something a little bit more, right. Try something more complicated or more outrageous or more fun or more, you know, intense. And each little nugget of permission, you know, gave me the confidence to continue down this path. And, you know, sometimes I trusted it. Other times I was terribly afraid. But it just kept leading to this inevitable move to New York City, in which was the biggest leap of faith. Like, if I had to do it now, I wouldn't.
And because you know too much about how hard it's been?
Like, you know, New York City seemed to me one of the hardest cities that you could possibly move to. It kind of works a little different. It's a little bit more expensive in places, a lot more expensive in other places. And moving there without a job and with just a dream of what I wanted to do was terrifying. But now I'm in New York City. It makes sense somehow. To move somewhere else seems more terrifying than staying in the place that I think is one of the most difficult places to live.
Because it takes you out of your community and out of the jet stream of the profession you're pursuing.
That it would take another leap of faith like that to move somewhere else, like Raleigh, North Carolina or wherever. It would feel terrifying. Like at the young age, I had, you know, an undeserved confidence, I think, and lot of support from home that was like, you need to go do this. This is what you said you were going to do. And I think it was an agreement that somehow I had made with myself and, you know, my father and mother and sister had all seen that agreement made. This is what I plan to do. And all I got from them in return was encouragement and support, and you know, words of wisdom that are so very true.
Yeah, every single step of your essay, Jim, and it can apply to anybody. I think the other thing, you started us right on this track, though, that we say this often on this show, Drew, and that is, it isn't the how, it's the what that takes the energy and the first focus. And the fact that you were no question clear about that vision of the end destination, meaning to be on that stage, that somehow these other things converged and brought, you know, came your way, but not without a lot of hard work.
Right. I mean, absolutely. I don't think there's any way around getting around the work. As he points out in the essay, you know, these words of, you have to row your own boat. You have to know where you're going, even if you don't know how to get there.
That's right. And I think also you have to make your own choices, too.
Because
along those ways, there's going to be waves, and those waves could be some well-intentioned people that nonetheless perhaps are not realizing how they might be taking you off track.
True.
But then also finding those that are going to put more lift in your sail to take you forward.
You're absolutely right, Zara. We've seen some people that have tried to make waves, and Drew's done a great job of staying focused and clear to himself and to his craft, and it pays off because other people in the business really see and appreciate his passion for his work.
That's great. Well, thank you very much to the great father and son team to be with us here. Happy Father's Day to you, Jim, as well as actually Grandfather's Day, because
yes,
you are three grandchildren.
They're beautiful grandchildren.
And Drew, we wish you all the best of luck, and we're going to watch for round two. We'll keep track of your budding career.
Thanks, Sara.
Great.
Thanks, Sara. Thanks,
nice
Dad.
To have you here on Circles of Change.
Buddy.
There you go.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.